Laban.
They make a big deal of me noticing the ring and bracelets that Abraham's servant gave my sister at the well that first day, as if I were only concerned with material goods. What's the big deal? Don't make more of the story than there is. I admit I am a shrewd man, and I wanted to make sure our family stayed together. When Abraham's servant came to get a wife for his son Isaac, you know, that poor boy the old man almost sacrificed up on the mountaintop, my mother asked me to negotiate the deal, and so naturally I did most of the talking. But the decision about marrying the boy was Rebecca's. Then, years later, when Isaac's son Jacob came to me seeking refuge after fleeing the family because of some big feud, I provided it. He was family. I gave him a job, for heaven's sake, and a wife, two wives, in fact, and handmaidens, too. He had his way with all of them, that boy did. When he came to me, he was just a boy on the run. And when he left, he had 11 strapping sons and a daughter and grandchildren too numerous for an old man to count. But what a twisted family that was. I should have known as soon as I heard about the old man wanting to take a meat cleaver to his son. Then that boy's son came to me, afraid for his life, spinning a tale about how his brother wanted to kill him for stealing a birthright and a blessing. That is some family we let my sister marry into. It was the boy, Jacob, who set the bride price, and I thought the offer was fair. Worked for 7 years, and he could have my daughter's hand in marriage. After all, he came with nothing, not even money for a dowry. Was it my fault that the boy was rash and impetuous? He was supposed to be the calm, calculating one. Shouldn't he have known it was our custom to always marry the eldest daughter first? Well, he never showed much respect for the firstborn, did he? He got my oldest daughter's hand in marriage and then worked another 7 years for my other daughter, but I paid in advance. I let him take Rachel just a week after he took Leah for a bride. So it wasn't like I made him work another 7 years before he could have her. He had them both. I know this kind of thing is frowned upon now, but in our day it was done all the time. Surely you've heard of the Levirate marriage. Some of the boys didn't like it, but tradition is important. Jacob stayed with me and worked for 6 more years after he worked those first 14 years for my girls. I paid him handsomely with some of my best flocks. I admit I tricked him into marrying Leah first, but didn't the boy trick his own father in a similar way? Didn't his own father call him Esau, and he answered to that name? Poetic justice, we called it, when we switched brides, and had a good belly laugh at the time. Even Jacob saw the irony and laughed with us. You think it was a coincidence that the trickster ended up being tricked? Then you don't know whose hand is moving all the pieces around on the board. Yes, Jacob served me, but he served a greater role as well. Did not the children of those unions produce a nation, just as their God had foretold? When Jacob finally decided to go home, and to take my two daughters, and the two handmaidens I gave them, and all my grandchildren, and all his spotted flocks with him, the boy just took off like a thief in the middle of the night while I was off shearing sheep. He didn't even tell me he was leaving after all those years together. What kind of man acts like that? Did he really think I would harm him? Ah, the party I would have thrown for them if I had only known. I would have serenaded them with songs on the harp, but no, he just pulls out without even a goodbye. When I caught up with them, I asked, "Why did you carry away my daughters and my grandchildren and did not tell me that I might have kissed them all goodbye? Are these not my children?" I could have done him much harm, but his God was watching and had warned me to let him be. I made a covenant with Jacob that day, and I kept my word to him. I kissed my daughters and my grandchildren. I blessed them, and I departed.